Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show, Self-Expressions. And I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. And welcome each and every one of you for joining us, whether you join us online or via phone. We thank you so much for joining us. And one of the times that, I really want to let everyone know, this is truly, a privilege, and it is an honor, really, to, broadcast tonight, because tonight, my topic tonight, and I'm just going to discuss my topic, and my topic is, it's about time. 25:8 versus 23:6. And when I just say those numbers, I'm just saying them not to be saying numbers and spouting out numbers. But as we go forward, please just bear with me, and then we'll get into. And I've aired this show before, as far as the topic, it's about time. And when I aired that show, there was a lot of things I've missed. I left out there on the table, and there are some times when we revisit things, and there are some times that when we go through, and we review things, we see that, we missed some things. So, to just revisit, that title, it's about time. So we're going to do this again. It's about time. 25:8 versus 23:6. And you will learn that, the scriptures, for tonight are basically Isaiah 32:8, Proverbs 19:21, also Proverbs 16:1, also Proverbs 16:9, and Luke 14:28-33. And yes, those are the same scriptures that I have given out on that show I have aired before. But this time, as many times as I've told you before, sometimes we revisit things, and we go over scriptures, and then there's another revelation that we go through. And as we go through them, and as I said, before, there's a lot of things that I miss. And, when I go over things and I redo things, it's not to say that, hey, I could have done it better. It's just sometimes that we can revisit things, and we have new revelations, and guess what? When we have new revelations, we can also share that. So we need to know that, everybody has a time at some point. And the one thing that we all know, we have in common is time is the same for everyone. Time, like anything, has laws. And like anything, or any other thing, laws, we continue to try to break the laws of time. And when I mention time and laws broken, dealing with time, you might have in mind a time machine. And, we all, saw the movies of, Michael J. Fox when he was going through time, and, and the funny thing about it is as he started going through time, and he thought he was going to fix things, things got worse. But this, the real meaning of time is not, so it's no way possible for a time machine that can function even the way we think that it should work. And I may make a lot of, scientists mad, but I can prove it doesn't work in the way we, especially the way we want it to work. And I'm not saying to the scientists that, that are still working on, trying to defy the laws of time and try to defy, just the basic physics of time, you know, a time machine to go, you know, and I'm not basically telling them, you know, it's time for you to go home. You know, your work has no merits. But what I'm saying is that, you know, through failure, we can find something else. You know, all throughout time, you know, through failure, were scientists, you know, as they were trying to find cures for some things, or they were trying to find a reason or a way of finding things, they find cures for something else. So during their time, I'm not saying that they're mismanaging their time. I'm just saying that during their time, as far as trying to defy the laws of time, that they can find other things during their endeavors. And so, you know, what I'd like you to know is that since we all need to have a sense to, you know, be hands-on, we can experiment with the first law of time. And that law is that nothing can be in the same place at one time. And I'm going to, you know, add a footnote. You know, only the Holy Spirit can occupy more than one place at one time. And we all know that when we've been in the congregation in church where the whole building has been filled with the Holy Spirit. So, yes, you know, we all know that God governs the laws of everything. God is the creator of all. So, yes, God can bend the rules of how we perceive it. But how we perceive it, you know, we can do things differently. You know, we see things differently because we're not godly like it. We're not omniscient. So now, if you want to just go ahead and see if, you know, to prove the point of what I'm making is that as far as the first law of time, and the first law of time is that no thing can occupy the same place at the same time. And this may have happened to you before, but you're not knowing, you know, what is going on. So now you can do this with, you know, either radio or TV. And all you need to do is to tune in, you know, that TV or that radio to the same station and place yourself in the middle. And, for example, you can have a radio in the bathroom and one in, you know, your bedroom. Or you can have a TV on in the living room. And in the other, you know, you can have one in the dining room or the kitchen and just listen. And we have a proven law that is there. So if you've done this, there's no way that you can perceive that at one time. Now, you'll probably hear an echo, or you'll probably hear an after effect, or you probably hear something where as though simultaneously, no matter what the words that are spoken at that time, will you hear them at the other location. Because, like I said, the laws of time is governed as so, is that no two things can occupy the same place at the same time. And so, like I said, as you may hear a delay in one thing, like I said, you can have it on the same station at the same time. They can play it. But the laws of time is the same thing with sound or anything else. No one thing can occupy the same place at the same time. And like I said, I've mentioned a footnote, except for the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, you know, at your own time or at one time or another, I know sometimes that we may have heard someone playing, like in your car, maybe playing a radio station or something, the same way you were playing, and they would pull up to you or whatever, and it would be a delay or pause on one of the, you know, the vehicles that was playing, you know, this sound. And at no time was the same sound occupying at one particular place or time. So that's how you can prove it there. So, you know, if you've done this, and you know that, you know, if you do this, you know, just for trying to do this, there's no penalty, you know, for trying to see if, you know, we can break, you know, this particular law. But like this law, there are other laws that we continue to try to break. Laws just like that, but there are penalties for breaking basically the law. And, you know, just like that, you know, we like scientists that want to keep making a breakthrough. You know, we just try to keep adding on to what's already been set. Yes, we didn't make the, you know, yes, during time in our life, there are a lot of times when we seem to be running out of time, where there's not enough time. Yes, we didn't make the deadline. Yes, we are late, you know, to a particular appointment. You know, and yes, we didn't, you know, do what we, you know, said we wanted to do. You know, we were going to do all a certain thing at a certain time, but God is still on time. God is there when he's supposed to be. And he's supposed to be there at one time. So there is, you know, so precious that, you know, 24 hours is basically in a day and only 7 days a week. So why are we, you know, living like we have time to spare? You know, why occupy and spend time where God used, you know, where God used to be? You know, we're always saying, well, you know what, if I was here or if I was there at that time, I would receive this blessing or I would receive this. You know, there's always a big notion that we always have in our mind that, you know, oh, it wasn't my time, or it just wasn't the right time. But we won't make that decision, but we didn't ask God if it was that the right time. There are times that we sit on ideas and theories and, you know, these great big plans that we just think that, you know, are so perfect, and we just keep spending time adding on. And then when we see somebody do that, you know, the things that we were sitting on that we never took action on, and we say to ourselves, to our very selves, is that, hey, I had that idea. That was what I thought of it. That was what I was going to do. And, you know, we don't look at it in the past tense as was going to do. That was something that we planned to do, but we didn't do. And then sometimes, you know, we have that notion where, though, along the lines, you know, we spend times, you know, yapping the gums where we say, hey, I got this big idea and, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And then the first thing you think is that person stole my idea instead of saying, oh, wow, congratulations. You know, you had the same idea I had. And you know what? For some reason, you know, you put it in action. It's like, wow. You know, you could probably talk to that person. That person will probably actually help you, you know, bring in the steps on how where you failed to launch and where he began to launch his idea or their idea. And sometimes it don't have to be, you know, one person. You know, one person can come up with an idea, but sometimes it may take more than one like mine to come together in the formulation of one idea. Whereas though it can come into fruition, and sometimes it maybe is so big that it, you know, it is more than one person to actually do it, and then, you know, we have that idea or that notion that somebody stole something from us because we failed to put our plan in action. And it's always, you know, like I've said before, you know, when we don't plan, and I tell you right now, plan to fail. Because failure is something that we never put in the equation, you know. And when failure comes or when failure happens, you know, there is just, you know, no answer for that. And one of the great examples, well, I'm not going to say great examples, I can say great tragedy that happened, you know, to people is that, you know, when you are accustomed to something, you know, the part of being accustomed, and you say, what is accustomed? You know, accustomed is that you're used to being at some portion in your life catered to at some point where you expect it to happen. And we all know that with, you know, with faith and, you know, expectancy, this is something different than what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like in the 1930s and the 40s with a stock market crash, and you're wondering why, you know, there were a certain amount of people that when they lost everything, they jumped out of windows and they committed suicide, they killed their families and stuff like that. And you say to yourself, well, wow, how can that happen? Because you know why? It's because some people cannot realize that they can fall from great heights because they didn't feel the plan. They just happened to be in a position where, you know, they had wealth and they had grace, you know, but one thing they didn't do is they didn't, you know, practice grace and mercy, whereas though they felt as though is that they were privileged. It was something that, you know, they felt as though that they, you know, had to be given, not earned. And one thing that we know is that something that appears to be given, no matter if you're blessed or not, if you're not receiving that blessing, you think if you don't think you're blessed, you don't think that you're that was something that was, you know, it was something that was supposed to be given to you, even though you didn't earn it. You know, and when we still walk in life and we say, hey, you know what, this is happenstance or something like that, or, you know, to me, God doesn't work in happenstance. God doesn't work in uncuriously or some mysterious benefactor. God is the benefactor. God is the one who's the giver. You know, and we have to look at ourselves as we're not going to be the borrower. We're going to be the lender. And when you had that privileged thought that this is something that's privileged to you and without you, you know, reaping or sowing anything, without you earning it, and, you know, just by happenstance, when I say by happenstance, you happen to have a rich uncle, you have a rich father, whatever, and you're in there. But there is a common denominator between people that think that they're privileged for something and people that have earned something. And what that is that they can't fathom themselves being at rock bottom. And that is part of planning. When you're planning, you plan, and this is all about your time management when you're planning. When you're planning and, you know, you find yourself hitting rock bottom, if you start off from rock bottom, you know what it's like to be. You know, it's not like you're saying that, hey, you know what, wow, you know, I came, and I'm not just saying, when I put this there, I'm not saying it in a demeaning way. When you came from living off of food stamps, welfare, or getting help from, you know, some kind of form of help from the government, you know, and then you earn some independence some kind of way as far as, you know, finding a stable job or a stable income, finding where you can, you know, eventually, you know, get a home or something like that, then, you know, yes, that's worked better than versus, you know, somebody that needs, you know, to go to a palm reader or, you know, play lottery or win something from a horse race, you know, and or somebody that refers to a dream book, because those things are not of what is feasible as far as self-sustaining, because that's something that you cannot constantly draw on. That's something like a paycheck that you earn in a job, you know, where eventually you may earn more or you may, you know, get a better title or a better position there. But when, you know, you go to, you know, the racetrack and you go to the casinos and stuff like that, what you're doing is you're mismanaging time, because God does not want you to luck up on your success. And, you know, and this goes, you know, back to probably, like I said, this is, you know, like this topic right here. Yes, this goes back to what I said, is success is certain. And one of the keys of success to make it certain is that you don't rely on something not sustainable. You cannot walk into a casino at any given time and say, hey, you know what, this is about my time for me to hit the big jackpot. Doesn't work that way. Yes, some people do walk in and hit a jackpot. Yes, some people, you know, they hit the lottery. But you know what? That's not a given. It's not a formula of success. It's not a formula of self-substantiation. Because, you know, one of the things that we have to understand is that, you know, being governed in our time, when we mismanage our time, we try to tend to think that we can make up time by doing certain things. Yes, hitting a jackpot does make up a big amount of time. But guess what? Just like time, and that we're thinking we're making it up, we're missing out on a lot of blessings, and we're inviting the enemy. And when I say the enemy, and I told you before that Satan has been already defeated. But why would you reach down in the pit of hell and bring someone up? Well, that's what we're doing when we're inviting Satan in our lives to find that one time or that quick fix where we're thinking that I'll have no other choice but to do this. We all have choices. We all have choices. Sometimes we just don't want to sit down there and sit there and plan. One of the greatest things that God has given us is time management. And when I say this, as far as one of the greatest things that God has given us is time management, because in the wintertime, a bear has no choice but to hibernate. Okay, in the wintertime, we have choices to get into a warmer climate or a warmer environment, or even bring our family in a warmer environment. A bear cannot do that. A bear can only do is invite his family, if they have a family, into a cave somewhere where they can sleep, hopefully peacefully, with nobody disturbing them. And they're missing out on the whole season right there. And so that's what I want to just get into, is about time. And during times, you know, we have to understand that God does not want to force his way into our life. Yes, he does not want to force his way into his life. Could he? Yes, he could. Could he have us behave like bears, where he had to say, when, you know, once we have exhausted our avenues, that we have to automatically, after we just exhausted all revenues of and all clues and all hints that he's dropped on us, that all of a minute, automatically our knees bend and we get down on our knees and we start praying to him? He hasn't done that. God is a perfect gentleman. And so that's why he introduced Jesus to us at the right time. You know, when we look at ourselves, we always look at ourselves in competition. But the biggest part of the competition that we're in is cheating ourselves out of the time that we have. And the time that we have, we just don't understand. We always, always looking to be on top. So why do we want to be on top? Because everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to measure themselves at some point in success. You know, let me tell you, like me, you are, if anybody listening to me, you are the ultimate winner of any race that has ever been competed on this planet or any other planet so far that we know. And even though, you know, you didn't know what race you were in, let me tell you, you defied such incredible odds to be the winner that you are right now today. And the odds are so phenomenal. And let me just tell you the odds. Here's the odds. Okay, you are a winner of, I believe, out of 900 million. You are the one that came on top. And you want to know how that happened? God made it happen. You know how he made that happen? And you want to say, what? I am the winner out of 900 million other possibilities of someone else winning? Yes. You know, and I believe that the first time that your father laid eyes on your mother, that's when God decided that you were going to be a winner, that you were going to win out of 900 million other possibilities. And let me tell you, when your father laid eyes on you, your mother, and they decided they were going to, you know, conceive, or they were just, you know, sometimes it's not planned or whatever. Let me tell you something. God knew who was going to be a winner out of all 900 million of those sperm that was going to fertilize that egg. And, you know, guess what? You know, there were probably some good candidates and all that. But you know what? You were chosen out of 900 million. So right now today, how can you say that you've never won anything, that you have not accomplished much, or that, wow, man, I just can't think of the best thing I did in my life. The best thing you did in your life was you let God choose you. God chose you out of 900 million. Some people would say, I'm one in a million. You could say, I'm one out of 900 million. You know, and I know there was a TV show called The Greatest Race. You know, on your conception, your very conception, that was the greatest race. Because even though, you know, God chose you, you know, you had to fight through and went out over 900 million. So don't you dare say that you're a loser. And, you know, on top of that, you know, on top of all those odds, you know, I'm glad because, you know, my mother's name is Winona Hudson, and my father, you know, was Walter Hudson. And I'm glad that I'm making a Robert Hudson. So, you know, I know life is so precious, and, you know, with the added measure of, you know, being, you know, the options that women have, and, you know, you have the pro-choice and the pro-life and things like that. And, you know, through everything and all that, you know, my mother chose not to abort me after winning, you know, such an incredible race. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying that, you know, women should not have abortions. I'm saying they have the right to choose, but I also know that they need to have the right to understand, you know, the incredible odds, you know, it takes, you know, for, you know, a child to be born. And how God had the careful consideration, as much as he made our fingerprints unique, he made it so unique that that child was going to be one out of 900 million. And, you know, we have to definitely take that in consideration. And like I said, you know, women, you know, I know guys have, you know, such a good game, and they have that, you know, falsetto part about, you know, being with you and then they disappear and things like that. I understand, you know, I definitely understand. And I'm not saying, you know, that's your problem because you made the wrong choice. We all make the wrong choices. We all put the wrong trust in the wrong things. And, you know, but the only thing I'm just saying, women, is that, yes, you know, I know ultimately the choice should be in your hands. But yes, ultimately, you should take the ultimate consideration of what has happened. You know, there are many rape victims that have, you know, accepted, you know, their pregnancy. And for whatever reason, you know, we just can't forget the factor that, you know, God has a purpose for everything. God has no throwaway in anything. God has a purpose for leeches, worms, maggots, flies, spiders. No matter what kind of conception of life here is on this planet, God has a purpose for it. And, you know, and that's just, you know, what I wanted to say, you know, to women, you know, as far as, you know, abortion. And like I said, I would not carry this conversation any further or any point with anyone. That's just my belief. And that's just how I feel because, you know, one of the foundations of life is that we live and let life live. You know, just because you see a water bug or a roach or something or a beetle, we don't have to squash it because we classify it as pest. You know, God considered us pests a long time ago, but he didn't exterminate us completely. You know, and just don't forget, you know, it's just basically the way we managing, you know, ourselves and managing our time. And, you know, the film, you know, one of the things I always want to go back to as far as, you know, what God has that's planned for us. And as far as our timing, you know, our timing is not always there. Our timing is a little off. Sometimes we think our time is now. And that's when we're in our 20s, you know, when we get in our 30s, you know, we're thinking, oh, man, if it ain't going to happen, I guess it ain't going to ever happen. Sometimes we get in our 40s, we say, hey, we're just along for the ride. Then we get in our 50s, it's like, yeah, you know what, I guess, you know, I need to probably settle down. Then we get in our 60s, we're saying, hey, you know what, I guess my time has passed. Let me just go ahead and put the brakes on and just find a nice rocking chair. And then we get in our 70s, sometimes we think, you know what, it's definitely over, and I'm just waiting for my time. But I've said this before in one of my shows again. It's the last time I want to mention this. So, as far as timing, you know, God's timing is everything to him and nothing to you. So no matter what talent you have and how you apply yourself to it, if you don't have the total connection with him, he's going to wait so you catch up to him. And then he's going to say, okay, now you're ready to use this talent. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about KFC founder, Colonel Sanders. And the reason why I'm talking about him is because he had for over 40 years before, at the age of 70, they decided to franchise his recipe for chicken. And that's why you see an old guy on a box of the chicken, because after 40 years of whatever he was doing, it's been the same ingredients. He didn't change a thing. He's been pitching it to everybody, and everybody's like, no, no, no. No, nope, no, I don't want to invest in that. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, well, okay, let me have a piece of this chicken. And I guess somebody's like, oh, okay, you know what? I'll give it a shot. Man was 70 years old. 70 years old when, you know, people, whatever pitch you had when you was in your 30s, or your 40s, people give up. But you know what? God always placed, you know, a little seed somewhere. He always places a seed where either you have that seed to change your recipe a little bit, change your zip code, change your attitude. But the thing is that there's very rarely a time where he allows your season to run into your 70s. But like I said, God is on time all the time, and it was at the right time for him. And it was time where in God's plan for him, and, you know, God knew that at some point that, yes, this is the time I'm ready to use Colonel Sanders. And, you know, I just let something go over my head, and I just want everybody to know that if you're one of the 900 million that made it, you know, please say amen, because that's an incredible feat, you know. And, of course, you're here, so you're the one out of 900 million. And so, you know, during your time, you know, it doesn't have to be right now. It could be at any time that you're ready. You know, please schedule yourself to say an amen, you know, for being here and for being one of God's chosen. Because, you know, as being part of God's chosen people, God, like I said, he has the time and place and appointment for everybody. And, hey, you know, say amen. Just give a big amen to yourself. You know, and I know we all want to operate on that notion that, you know, we need more time, but we have to scale it back. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm saying we need to scale it back, because, you know, once, you know, something is given, you know, it's, you know, we should not take it back because it's a gift or something we say we can give. when we do our 25-8 versus 23-6, basically you're thinking, hey, if I can extend everything for one more hour, or if I can add one more day into what I have to do, what you're doing is you're easing God out of your schedule. If you say I'm going to handle my schedule 23-6, as far as 23 hours a day, 6 days a week, leave my day, my last day for worship, a little bit of leeway because I got an hour of playtime. Fine. That's why I think that's your best management, because if you are committing yourself to more than what you can give, there's no way you can take back what you committed yourself to. And we all commit ourselves to that. We all sit there, we all sit and think that, you know, we can handle and manage. And I'm the one that's more guilty than that than anything. I think I can do everything within one day and realize when the time comes that I'm mismanaging everything. Because as the week wears on, as, you know, as the weeks change, you know, I'm looking and I'm seeing that I'm so wore down. I've committed myself to so much time, whereas though I'm losing out on time of prayer and worship or just simply prayer. What we need to do is we need to operate on a reserve time that we have during the week. Yes, we can operate 23-6 and get a lot of things done effectively, but we have to make sure that we have that time set aside for prayer and worship. And not only prayer and worship, but also for our family. If we're operating on 25-8 and everybody wants to say, hey, I want to take it to the max. I'm going to, you know, I was about to say a turn that was crazy, but something to the wall, but to get that. But I'm going full throttle. I'm going all out. I'm doing it to the wheels fall off. That's the stop. Hold up right there. Really? Now, if you think about, you know, riding into the wheels fall off, I don't care any kind of vehicle you got. And just with that one phrase right there, I'm just riding out to the wheels fall off, that don't sound good. And so if you're applying that same, you know, acronym to yourself, you know, just as well, that doesn't sound good. And, it don't sound like it's a good thing that's going to happen to you in the end either. You know, and basically, you know, when we listen to everybody, how we have the heart attack prevention, stroke prevention, you know, heat stress and all that, and all kinds of different ailments and illness that comes on. And one of the reasons that they don't say is that we cause it to ourselves because we don't know. We don't know the first actions that we take that lead on to the warning signs. They tell you the warning signs, but they don't tell you some of the things that you can prevent. Well, sometimes they do, and, you know, most times not, because of the medical profession that we believe in. And the medical profession we believe in is that we give you one magic pill, no matter what it is, that solves your problem. But that goes a part of the time management, because there you go. Now you think you take this one pill, this magic or whatever, and you take it every day, and you can continue on the same lifestyle. But that's not how it works. You know, it doesn't stop you from eating pork. It doesn't stop you from overeating. It doesn't stop you from, you know, ingesting too much alcohol. It doesn't stop you from shooting up too much drugs or sniffing drugs or smoking drugs or whatever it is that you know that you're not supposed to do. There is no makeup session, you know, as far as the time you lost doing something that you mismanaged your time with. And, you know, when I say this, you know, God always has a place in our heart And with that, you know, with that being said, God knows that there's a time and the timing that he placed ourselves. And I know women understand, because women are part of, you know, they are part, or, you know, are part of the product of producing new life. But men don't understand the God that's introduced himself into us as far as a part of new life. And it happens to women too, but it's more on us as a more of a personal level with God. More, you know, like I say, women learn how to birth new life. Guys do this. That happens to the same thing. God introduces, he impregnates men. And when I say this, you know, guys is probably like, oh, you done lost me. He impregnates us through our brain, and that's through our ideas. You know, and we all know that, you know, God created man, but God had an affinity with men, and one of the parts that he had with us is that he had a rapport with us, a rapport with us. And one of the rapports he had with us, you know, even though Adam, you know, and ultimately what he's done and his, you know, ultimate sin doesn't, you know, take away from the rapport that God had with him by impregnating him with ideas of how to prosper the kingdom of heaven. And even though we're not on the kingdom of heaven, and even though we hope to achieve that, God has impregnated our minds. And so, in a way, God has enabled us to give birth to his ideas. So if you understand and you have that undying notion or that notion to do something, and even no matter how much you ignore it, and I'm talking to men and women too, this happened to women too. If you had that undying notion that this is something I want to do or something I have a feeling I want to do, and it's, and you're operating, don't forget, on this 23-6 schedule. And then you have time when you have the proper rest. And once you have the proper rest, and, you know, like I say, with, you know, with anything that you're rushing with, you go ahead and sleep on it. And then that, you know, that whole idea that was, you know, impregnated in your mind, that turned into an idea, can turn into a concept, and can, you know, form itself into reality. And that's how God operates through man when we're on that nice rapport where we, you know, we're there with him. And yes, you know, God knows he's, you know, created a special, you know, thing with, you know, where women can create life. But, you know, we do have a special rapport with God where he can impregnate us with ideas. And, you know, when I say left out, I'm not saying left out, because he doesn't include women too with this. But this is something that, you know, through, like I said, through Adam, that God has always, you know, been able to place in us, because at that time he didn't have a mouthpiece, which was Jesus. And, you know, through time, God has always impregnated the minds of, you know, prophets. And don't forget about Noah. You know, when Noah built his ark, you know, no one called it a boat. No one called it a ship. It was something that huge and something that big. They called it an ark. Nobody worried about what it was or what it had a capacity to hold or how big it was until it started raining, and then when it stopped raining, and then all of a sudden, you know, they seen like, oh, okay, mudslides were coming down, and it was like, well, you know what, this is getting a little hectic. And then when Noah knew when it was time to batten down the hatches and shut the ark up, and what he had in there was what he had in there, you know, that's not a notion that, you know, anybody would have besides, you know, God enacting on and him and informing him and saying, hey, this is, you know, this is what I'm going to leave for humanity to have left to build on. If you don't shut these doors, there's going to be nothing left. And that's basically what happened. Basically, you know, like I said, God placed that he had that rapport, you know? And don't nobody just come out there and build an ark. And I know right now, today, you know, some people, they know the stories, and some people that don't have to read the whole Bible. I don't know if they see somebody out there in the middle of their backyard building a big old ark and start gathering up some things, they're going to start running right behind there and helping them. They don't care if he's a lunatic or not. It's just for the fact and the belief and the notion that's put in there that, yeah, and even though God promised he'll never wipe us out the same way again, you know, we still have those lunatics out there that wants to, you know, go ahead and, you know, follow that way. And so this is time for the call of salvation. So I'm going to go ahead and give the call of salvation. And this call of salvation is for those that, you know, don't know Christ or want to know Christ or rededicate themselves to Christ. And one of the things you want to do, let me just slow down. I was about to talk like the Transformer character Blur. Like, talk real fast. But anyway, you know, if you want to get to know God, you know, one of the things you can do is you can just start, you know, that rapport with God by saying, you know, Father God, I'm a sinner. I wish to sin not more. I wish to get to know you, and I want to get to know you through your son Christ, who you sacrificed on the cross of Calvary to die for my sins. So, God, I recognize your ultimate sacrifice, and I wish to be welcome to the kingdom of heaven. And by saying that, that's, you know, one of the ways that you can just go ahead and, you know, just complete that rapport you have with God and also accepting Christ in your life. And by doing that, you know, the next thing you want to do is you want to confess, you know, to somebody and say, hey, listen, I turned a new leaf over in my life. I am a brand new person. And I just want to let you know that I was welcome to the kingdom of heaven. You can say that to your mom. You can say that to your best friend. You can call someone, text someone. You can just scream at the top of your lungs. But one of the things you want to do is you just want to do it. You just don't want to wait, you know, until, you know, a certain time or whatever. This is not, like I said, it's about time. It's about time for you to do it. So you just want to do it right there and then. You know, you just want to make sure that, you know, you do that. And, you know, once you do that, you know, welcome to the kingdom of heaven. You know, we thank you so much for making that final step, that one step, that hard step that everybody finds so hard to do. But yet, you know, you've done it, and we thank you. And the next thing I suggest that you do is you find a Bible-believing preaching sanctuary that nurturing the word of Christ. And if you can't get that, you know, that there, you know, we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where you can listen to many of the various ministries that we have each and every night that we have provided them here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we thank you so much for listening to these ministries. We thank you so much for just allowing the work of God to, you know, come through your life, and hopefully you share that with your family and friends. And if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Net, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, or, you know, just send a prayer request, or just let us know you turned your life over, and we thank you so much for doing that. Also, Purpose Kingdom Network has a hotline number where you can call us. That phone number to call us is 267-730-5361. And don't forget that, you know, anytime you want to call into the show, whether you're listening to us online, that phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And then anytime you hit the number 1, and you can join the conversation. We thank you so much for that. And don't forget, you know, tomorrow evening, we're going to have a special event, and that's going to be the Women's Day seminar. Well, not really a seminar, but it's going to be the Women's Day. It is a seminar. And that's going to be tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Please show up. And it's going to start at 11:30 a.m. Please come early. We got a lot of women speaking. And talking about a lot of women speaking, we're going to have our very own pastor, Tyler Daly, as the guest speaker there. And that's going to be at New Salem Baptist Church. And that address is 1721 North Crosby Street in Philadelphia, PA 19121. And I'll give that address out before we close out to make sure everybody has that information. And no worries. We'll go ahead and get that back out again. And with that being said, you know, if you want to hear any of our past previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Where you can simply hear any of our hosts if you type in their show name or their host name. You can hear that show at your convenience and anytime you want. And we thank you so much for anybody that does that. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. We're also on Facebook where you can like us, and that way you can see some of our upcoming advertisements and our show, our upcoming shows. Like I said, we thank you for, you know, for participating with us here tonight. And don't forget, tonight is our 995th episode. And no worries, when we get to our 1,000th episode, we'll announce what we'll be doing. I know it's going to be pretty spectacular. And just a reminder, I'm going to have a special edition of Self-Expressions on Monday. It's going to be the sports edition, and that's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour. I know I normally broadcast at 8:30, but on my sports editions, doing the Monday shows, I'll be doing my broadcast at 9 p.m. So feel free to join me on Self-Expressions at 9 p.m. on Monday. Tomorrow evening, I'm not sure what broadcast we're having, but you know, with God's will, God's blessing, we'll have the show at 9 p.m. And I hope everybody listening tonight will invite a friend and join in tomorrow evening. In the event that we don't have a show, like I said, we'll go on Facebook and we'll inform everybody the upcoming shows that we have for Sunday evening. Like I said, at the moment, I'm not sure who's scheduled, but I'm sure we'll get the message out to everybody. I thank everybody for listening to the announcements. And then I'm going to go back into tonight's program. And no worries, it sounds like I probably was losing something, but no, I'm still there. I'm good. And I'm going to take us home. And, you know, just getting back to, you know, one in a million, you know, and the things that we do, not one in a million, but one in 900 million. And that's, you know, the company that I'm keeping right now tonight. And don't forget, you know, don't ever forget that you're one in 900 million. And, you know, with that being said, you know, there's one more part of, you know, time that, I don't want you to forget. And it's the time that you use, and the time that you use to earn. Now, we're getting to, you know, something a little bit heavy, and you say, well, okay, time has something to do with earning. Yes, it does. The time you spend away from praising God, worshiping God, yes, God wants you to worship us, worship Him as much as you can. And your time away from Him is the time where, you know, as far as people in the kingdom, they all can't do what, you know, we all do. They're not all earners in the time they spend away from the kingdom. And you say, well, all right, well, we just got to do with time. Okay, so those that do 25-8, this pertains to you. These are the guys that work from one day in to the next day out, and where they have no concept of what day it is when you're working that hard. And yes, I fall in that category for most parts. And for this part, this is where as much is given, much is required. So if you operate more, you know, more in from one day to the other, where you are thinking that you're cheating time or you're extending time, time is still the same, but it is more required of you as far as giving to the kingdom. So if you do that, that means that the tenth is required of you. So if you work that hard, you have to, the minimum that you have to provide is the tenth. And I know people are not going to want to hear this, but yes, if you operate in this fashion, you have to, and you're required to give the a tenth of whatever you earn. And you say, well, what does tenth mean? It's what we normally call tithes. And everybody says, well, okay, well, yeah, I can give my tithes to the church or whatever. No, you're required to give a tenth or the tithe. Okay, and what that means is that you have to, you're required to do this on a daily basis. Since you bent the laws of time, and let me, I don't have time for that, but we can go into this in another subject, and I could probably briefly, you know, touch on this once I pull it up. But if we defy the laws or God's laws, and like I said, they're normally, there's no penalty, but when we blatantly defy the law, we're required. And the tithes are not to be paid weekly. It's supposed to be paid daily. And that is for the ones that think that, you know, and how tithes got into a weekly basis is because these were the people that would try to bend the laws of the tithes. And what they would do is they would work, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. And then when it was time for them to pay tithes, and they say, well, I didn't work this day, so I didn't earn anything. But lo and behold, they worked 10 or 12 hours a day, you know, from Monday through Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday, you know, they wouldn't work. And they feel as though they weren't required to pay the tithes. But the tithes were supposed to be paid every day. Because not only, you know, I'll put it to you this way. When the tithes were required, and there's so much so forth today, when the tithes were required, the tithes were required because everybody couldn't provide for themselves every day. Everybody was not able to earn, and everybody wasn't as strong as most. So it was always perceived that the strongest ones were the ones who were going to get to work, and the weakest ones were the ones who were going to help them prepare so they'd be able to work. They had meals when they came home and stuff like that. So what they would do is they would provide a tenth of what they earned because of the other 90% that couldn't earn anything, but they were the ones that were main you know, I'm not going to use fancy words. They were the main one that were helping them, you know, where they were able to provide. And that went through on land after land after land. But when the ones that were able to, you know, provide tithes, they were frustrated and wondering, and then it was explained to them that the tithes were supposed to be paid every day on a daily basis. It wasn't supposed to be weekly. It wasn't supposed to be when you show up at church. You know, if that's the case, you know, some people own, you know, owe $1 million in tithes by the time they show up in church. But, you know, beside the fact, but that's what it, you know, what it was. And like I said, we always try to bend, you know, the laws of, you know, whatever God has intended in nature. And like I said, one of the laws that we just can't bend is time. And time can't be bent, and it can't be exploited. You heard it from me. And with that being said, like I said, love broadcasting here on Purpose Kingdom Network. Can't wait to 1,000th episode. And like I said, if you don't hear my voice again, you'll hear me Monday for the sports edition of Self-Expression. And the title, I'm going to let you dwell on it, is going to be The Agony of Defeat. So please join me Monday evening. And like I said, it's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour, okay? And with that being said, man, it has been awesome tonight. So happy to do this. Can't wait to see PKN host tomorrow morning at New Salem Baptist Church. With that being said, I'm just going to throw up the deuces. See ya.
Jesus bled. He raised me. I will not lose.
He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose.
If you ever want to see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.
Yeah.